More epic music from ESPN.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week's all still NFL, week six of the NFL. What I'll do is I'll run through the scores, but I thought I'd pose you a couple of questions at the start, Mr. Plum, Ooh. Just to see what you are thinking of the current NFL landscape, so to speak.
Intrigued to start.
We'll run through the scores. So the first one was the Titans still haven't had a loss yet, 42-36 over a very, very game Texans. That one went to OT. That was pretty good, that game.
That was there's a few things in that game that we got to get to.
There's a massive fend in that game that was anyway. Jesus Christ, that was sheesh. the Colts beat the Bengals 31-27. The Falcons getting their first win, 40-23
over
the Vikings.
Hooray!
Classically, you lose, you know, you get rid of your coach, and then they win the week after, of course. The Broncos beating the Pats 18-12 in a dire game. Very dire game.
Man, I'm so glad that wasn't on TV.
The Giants getting their first win over Washington 20-19.
Oh my God, somebody had to win that game, didn't they?
Right. It could have been a draw.
Well, you're right. Yeah, it could have been a draw.
That would have been hilarious. It really was a draw. That would have been hilarious. The Ravens. My God. Ravens beat the Eagles 30-28. The Steelers beat the Browns 38-7. Put the Browns back into really their place. Steelers, man, they're doing what they need to do. But
I don't think that Cleveland got put back into their play. I just think it's just a teeny bit of a reality check. I think it's
probably
just,
that's better.
We all know that they're a good team, and you know, offensively, like we've said before, it's just an absolute smorgasbord for Baker Mayfield to dine at.
I'm just not sold on him yet. Not yet. I just don't think he's done enough yet. But
oh, no, absolutely not.
I'll keep going with the scores. The Bears beat the Panthers 23-16. The Lions beat the Jaguars 34-16. The Dolphins beat the still winless Jets 24-0. The Bucks beat the Packers 38-10. Man, that game was...
Oh, man, that's another one we've got to get into. That was...
Yeah. The 49ers beat the Rams 24-16. The Chiefs beat the Bills 26-17. And the Cardinals beat the hapless Cowboys 38-10. Goddamn, I watched that whole game. And anyway.
Three points the Cowboys had going into that all the way up until like 3 minutes to go in the game. Points.
Yeah. And they got garbage time touchdown. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, Amari Cooper gets himself a nice little happy fantasy boost.
So the couple of questions I had for you, the first being, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but there's a slew of injuries. Some not so known players, some very, very, very known players. I think it's pretty evident. I think we both decided this as well, but has not having a preseason actually affected the NFL for injuries, at least?
Maybe not so much injuries. I still think it's totally played a factor in it. And you heard at the start of the season. I don't know if everybody has watched as much NFL as what I have this year, but you hear on broadcasts and on the radio in the States and stuff like that about that in those preseason games, and OTAs and training camp and all that, they need to get the hits in, and it's basically like developing a callus on your hand or on the bottom of your foot, or so you can just brush it off throughout the season. I think that has played a part in it. The part that I think has played more into it is the guys that would be the backups, to the starters,
exactly right,
that would absolutely be getting a lot of the snaps throughout the preseason, just has not had those.
Yeah.
And when they come in, they're not put in real NFL situations like they would be, and real game situations when they're in the preseason. And now they come in, and everybody wants to whinge and complain that some teams are just absolute hot garbage.
Yeah, I think it's it's a little bit of preseason for the fact of exactly what you said, and just even that game time fitness. I mean, you can train your heart out. Anybody that plays any sport, you can train your heart out of practice. Once you play a game, that's a totally different
Nothing
fitness.
Beats game time reps. Nothing beats game time playing games. Like, it's just...
There's a fitness and then there's a game fitness. They're two totally different things. So it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, COVID would also probably play a little bit for the fact of they probably can't do certain things that they used to
doing.
No, of course.
That's 100%. Well, that's the reason why they had no preseason, so they could buy themselves.
Well, that's right.
A lot of the thing is too, like it's the CTE issue as well, which the things that they've had in place for a little while now. I'm kind of confident that I'm right in that they only get like 13 or 14 padded practices per year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, throughout the season, they're only allowed to have a certain amount of padded practices where they can actually smash each other throughout the year, which, look, you know, once again, it comes down to, you know, it comes down to having that callus.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Of just being able to brush off the hits.
That's fair. The other question I was going to pose to you, and look, it's early, it's only week six, but currently, right now, injuries aside, has there been, and I'm probably even thinking fantasy a little bit here, but who's your bust so far for a running back at the moment? Because running back's one of those hot positions, especially in fantasy, obviously, that you can get the bulk points, except obviously the quarterback. But is there any running backs to you that really, you know, you might have drafted high or, you know, that, you know, had that hype going in that just really hasn't produced for you at least? It's sort of opposing sort of question. I'll start off because I posed it, but I think Kenyon Drake at the moment, for the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think he had that little bit of hype going in, and I don't know if Hopkins is there, so he's probably getting less touches.
The other thing is too, is they're starting to give a lot more snaps to Chase Edmonds as well. So, I think that's sort of not helping Drake's cause, and that could be a part of, you know, he's just not in good form. So he's not getting the amount of offensive first snaps.
Yeah.
They're leaving off the field a lot and they're going more to Chase Edmonds, but Kenyon Drake's probably not the best pass catcher in the backfield
as a running back.
Right. Chase Edmonds is a better option than that, because you're always going to have Kyler Murray as a running threat in those games.
Too, by the way, God is quick. I didn't realize how quick he was.
He's Mighty Mouse. He's so quick across the ground. He's but for me,
is there anybody?
Is it Ezekiel Elliott?
I think behind that, a fairly
decent offensive line. Like it's not as if the offensive line is horrible for the Cowboys. That they're injured as well, but I think it's a fact of him not being used as much either, because the Cowboys are getting in such deep holes every single week. They simply can't go to the ground and pound game. Dak and we've had 1 week now of Andy Dalton, one full start of Andy Dalton. They simply just can't go to the run game late in games because they're so far behind that they've got to chase the game. They've got no choice but to go for the pass option.
That's actually not too bad, because they really don't have a choice. And they have, you know, they drafted a wide receiver in the fact of that he, you know, they were going to do, there will be, I guess, pass hungry, as good as Zeke is, very pass offensive. But yeah, that's fair. I just thought I'd just sort of see what you, I mean, in saying that, even if I start with that game, Kenyon Drake had a really good game against the Cowboys, even though I've mentioned his that is against the Cowboys.
That was the
last game of the round, but that game, I mean, goddamn, we were, as in the Cowboys, you know, Kyle didn't have a great game, but we were just so exposed.
Kyler Murray was ordinary.
He had 10
rushes for 74 yards. Okay, that's all well and good. He completed 9 passes.
Out of 24, yeah.
9 passes, and they put 38 points on Dallas. Mm. He completed 9 passes. How is that even possible?
Well, they got 3 rushing touchdowns, but you're right. They played as good as you would play against the way They played as well as he would against a team that is bad at the moment as the Cowboys. That's all I think they really did. Because I think that's just, unfortunately, just the way.
The thing is, too, we want to say that Kenyon Drake had a massive game. Like, of his 164 yards, 69 of them came, you know, in the last 90 seconds. So if you take that away, he would have had 19 rushes for 95 yards. And that's still pretty good.
That's still pretty good.
That's still pretty good. That's good production. But 69 of them came on just a simple draw straight up the guts.
Oh, yeah.
And through he goes. It's like, holy moly, what on earth has just happened here?
Considering on the other spectrum, like you just said, or the other team, sorry, you know, Zeke only had 12 carries for 49 yards. So, which you just can't happen the way, you know, how he is. It just doesn't happen, really. It shouldn't happen. But it is happening. I mean,
no, it is happening, and that's game situational. So that's the point there. I think that the Cowboys are just getting so far behind that they have no option but to look for the pass game, and you know, and that's your CeeDee Lambs, that's your you know, your Michael Gallup, your Murray Coopers. So
Well, Zeke, actually,
your Dalton Schultz. You know, it's a
good point.
There's plenty of guys that they, you know, he's sort of been a bit of a surprise packet. Dalton Schultz, I think for the Cowboys at tight end.
Well, Blake Jarwin was injured for the year,
he got hurt around week two or something. So he's been Look, I think the thing that game, I think the story was the two fumbles by fumbles. Zeke,
exactly right,
and that they paid the ultimate price on both of them.
Yeah that's exactly, yeah, you know, that's touches, that was in the first half, I believe, both or first quarter, or the first quarter or the second quarter, I believe,
early second, late second. Early, I'm pretty sure they were on back-to-back offensive sets for the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure they were.
Look, and you're right. They capitalized on them. They really did. They did exactly what they needed to do. It's been the story of the year. It's just their defense. They're giving so much time to the quarterback. They can't sack a quarterback. I mean, at the moment, they're sitting about 20th at the moment, 1.8 sacks per game. So, which isn't great, clearly not great, but I really don't know what the hell's happening.
You've got to be able to get to the quarterback. And to say that you've got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback, like Andy Dalton, once again, whether it's Andy Dalton, whether it's Dak Prescott, they just can't be going. Yeah, the Dak Prescott threw 54 times. Like that, you can't do that. Like
right.
The Cowboys had more time in possession, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, like, they did.
That's unbelievable.
Because they only, like you said,
like
they only
seven
got
more
that.
Minutes, 7 more minutes time in possession, and they just they look dreadful.
Yeah, for the story of the game was right with the fumbles plus every advantage of every little pass that I guess. Kyler Murray did. They capitalized. They were able to capitalize and get points. So, they technically at the moment they're still top of the NFC East. So irregardless, they're just it was true. I mean,
as I heard Mike Greenberg say on his radio show, I think it might have been yesterday or the day before, the NFC least.
Oh, it is. I mean. I was talking to a group of mates in another sort of league, and we were talking about, like, obviously the NFC East, clearly, because of all the terrible, terrible teams that are in there. And they said the only reason, technically, they shouldn't be in the NFC East. They should be in the NFC South, Dallas, if you want to technically go by.
Oh, no, absolutely. Or even the NFC West. Like, they did. I've always tried to figure that out. I don't know whether.
So we looked it up. The only reason that all those four teams are in it, well, especially Dallas at least, because the other ones are closer-ish enough, is because of the rivalry they've had back in the 1920s and so forth. So because of the long rivalry they've had, And
it just doesn't make any sense why they're in the NFC East.
To me, that's the best thing that Jerry Jones has ever done for us, is keep us in the NFC East.
Yeah, well, but you think back to the NBA of why in the hell is Memphis in the Western Conference, where it's in Tennessee and it's a lot closer to the East. But you can justify that because they used to be the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's obviously on the West Coast. So that's all well and good. And it was sort of a bit topsy-turvy too, because when the Hornets moved out of Charlotte and moved to New Orleans, they stayed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
they're a lot more, you know, that's sort of a Midwestern or Southern team, but they ended up switching to the Western Conference when the Bobcats come in, but still, it just sort of made that a little bit funky. But it just, I don't get why they keep the Cowboys in the NFC East. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, the other three teams make total sense. Clearly,
They're all right near each other.
That's what we're talking about. Technically, they should probably use either NFC West, and I don't know who would move out of the NFC West, possibly Seattle, or in the NFC South, then you move Tampa Bay out of there, and then, you know, Atlanta, Saints.
Absolutely, that would be the one that would make the most sense.
NFC South.
No, well, you move Tampa out and you put them in the NFC East.
Yeah. Yeah, put them in the East and then put the Cowboys in the NFC South. We'd never pass Saints and we would never pass Panthers, so we'd never make it.
Not recently, anyway.
Anyway, I just found that really ridiculous. But we're hot garbage. I'm not going to keep talking about them because it's depressing as hell. Plus, it doesn't help all the other good teams out there, like the game that really shocked me, the Buccaneers and Packers, 38-10 to the Buccaneers. What the hell happened to the Packers? Literally.
Well, it started off well for Green Bay. They shot out to a 10-0 lead early. Aaron Rodgers is doing a very sensual dance after scoring a touchdown and after sort of feeling himself a little bit, and it's just like, all right, cool. And then
that was Tampa, the turning point of the game.
Yeah,
that's what
Tampa
I literally
just
thought.
Off 38 points.
I honestly thought that was a turning point of the game. Him doing that stupid dance just ruined it for their team because
the thing that was a little jarring. Was okay. Rodgers threw his first interception of the season. All right, all well and good. Mm-hmm. It was a pick six.
Mm.
You know how many pick sixes he's thrown in his career up until that point?
Aaron Rodgers. It'd have to be less than a handful, surely.
Three.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
Three up until then, like that is crazy. Jameis Winston would have had like 10 last year.
Didn't he have 30 for 30?
He had 30 intercepts. I'm talking just pick sixes.
Oh, pick sixes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, wow.
Don't take the bank on that stat for Jameis Winston, but I'm sure it would have been double.
Oh, it would be close. So his entire career, three up until then. That's amazing.
His entire career, three up until then. So that made it four. They looked terrific in that first quarter, and then Tampa just went, all right, this is going to stop. And it came off the back of their defense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that, you know, that they had a couple of decent players that they sacked a lot. That's what I noticed. They got a lot of sacks in that game. I think three years. So Sue got one, White got one, and Jean-Pierre Paul and David got 1.5 sacks. Jason Pierre-Paul, sorry. So it was on the back of their defense. And I really didn't think Ronald Jones had 113 yards in him at all, to be completely honest. But he did that game.
Yeah, they were just menacing.
Gronk looks like he's slowly coming back into the way, you know. He's not going to get back to his New England days, but he had a pretty good game.
Yeah, look, he looked really good, actually. Tampa's defense, like, you know, as watching the game, and it started to come towards the end of it as well, Tampa blitzed Rodgers 17 times throughout that game, which is the most that Bruce Arians' team. It's Todd Bowles who's the defensive coordinator there, but that's the most that they've done in the last couple of years since Todd Bowles got has been the defensive coordinator there. So it just the pick six was the shifting point. I mean, it's still stunning to think about it now, how it was sort of that tale of two, you know, the tale of two, I guess, parts of the game. Like the first quarter, Green Bay looked really good, and then all of a sudden Rodgers throws that pick six, and then everything changed from there. And the Tampa defense got just got that little bit of a leg up.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable.
It was one of those rare games too that I watched that there was no points in that fourth quarter. I don't know, I just feel like that's very rare to see by both teams in that fourth quarter. So I think clearly Green Bay should be able to bounce back. I mean, the Bucs slowly looking the goods. I mean, they're 4-2. They just signed another wide receiver. We're recording this on Sunday, just before the all the games that'll happen. But in Antonio Brown. So
of course they sign another player off the scrap heap.
I could just imagine if they waited long enough, it was never going to happen. But imagine if they end up getting Le'Veon Bell instead of
Mix.
Oh my god, that would have been that would have been a classic Brady move too. Antonio Brown
just
is a classic.
Just give
Brady.
Me everything. Just give me everything.
And that Antonio Brown has Brady's fingerprints all over it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
He was living. With Tom in New England when he was there last year. He was living with Tom.
Crazy stuff aside, I honestly think Antonio Brown can be a force if he can stay away from all that crazy, you know, whatever happened. I don't even know what happened.
Ever since he moved from Pittsburgh.
Sorry?
Can he do that?
He's proven,
especially recently, that he can't.
Yeah, that's the thing. Can he do that? That's the key. That is the key. Can he do that? But... because if he can, he will easily play outplay Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, who, you know, if you've got them in your fantasy team, good luck, because we all would have drafted them high because of the way they were last year. But
well, Godwin's
just
been
not getting nowhere.
Godwin's been hurt most of the year as well, so you know that hasn't really helped.
Yeah, but even Evans is not getting that much touches. So
it's like I said, you know, the signing of all these players. Essentially off the scrap heap, you know. Yeah, like you said, it's a total Brady power move to just go. It's as I put on the Facebook page, you know, earlier in the week. There's no excuse for him now. If their defense keeps playing like this, then there is absolutely zero excuse for them not to win the division, win the conference, and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm still
injury. That'll be the only excuse.
I can see them winning the division. I'm still not sold on them getting to the Super Bowl yet. You know, you still have phenomenal teams out there.
Oh, the NFC is still stacked with good teams.
Oh, of course they are. On the other side, my God, that Miami game against the Jets, 24-0. So Joe Flacco started that game, got a quarterback rating of 11. 21 out of 44,
He looked like a big slow dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen. Yeah, he looked so. He looked dinosaur's probably the best word. He
slow.
Just slow.
He just looks unbelievably slow.
You know, so I just can't work it out. Their starting quarterback is Joe Flacco. Their starting running back is Frank Gore. They've got Rashad Premier and Jamison Crowder. You know, this is their offense. They've got
nothing. Like I've heard that Sam Darnold will be back this week from that shoulder injury, which I didn't think at the time when he heard it was going to keep him out for this long, because he actually sort of stayed in the game. He stayed in the game for a couple of weeks ago. I'm just trying to think who it was against. But it was just. They're unbelievable to watch. They honestly are.
I mean, on the other side of it, you know,
what's he got to throw to?
Yeah, he's got no.
He's got no protection.
Jamison Crowder is not too bad, but he's got no protection. But on the other side, I mean, Fitzpatrick didn't play great, really, at the end of the day. But you know, again, it's against the Jets. He got three touchdowns, but he also got two interceptions. 18 oh, they to 27.
Had a good run. They had a good run game going there too.
Yeah, they did.
I think Miami. I think that would have been part of the plan, is to just kind of, yeah, just sort of drum them out of the game in that regard. But I think the biggest thing that come out of this game was the two completed passes right at the end of the game in garbage time by one Tua Tagovailoa, who has now been named as the starter for week. They're on the bye this week.
Yep.
Has now been named the starter for the Miami Dolphins going into week 8.
Yeah.
I'm all for the move.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think scares me a little bit is the team that they'll be coming up against.
And that's
the LA Rams.
Ooh.
And number 99.
Number 99. Number 99, oh my God. 99
is going to have number 1 on the radar and licking his chops.
Jesus Christ. That's so.
That's just all well and good. You bring in Tua. That might have been the plan all along to bring him in after the bye, but I just don't think there's possibly a worse team that you could bring him in against in his first NFL start. You know, Jalen Ramsey's playing pretty well in the backfield there for the Rams as well, so that he'll be a threat to possibly pick off Tua, and Aaron Donald is just going to have like number one in his eyes. He's just going to look to feast.
And this is a guy that's, you know, has a unfortunately a track record of injuries as well. So it's going to be
throughout his whole career at Alabama. You know, he's had a couple of ankle injuries, a knee injury, obviously the dislocated hip.
And he's going up against the number one player in the NFL. Literally, he is the number one player in the NFL. So, Jesus Christ.
He's the sack leader too, is he not?
I just think he's the scariest.
You don't want to wreck him on start one. Don't wreck him on start one.
Aaron Donald is the, you know, you look at all these, you know, when they run up to the offensive line and defensive line, Aaron Donald isn't the tallest guy in his defensive line. You're not even close. But God damn, that guy can hit, and he's thick. He's extremely muscular. I didn't know that. At least Fitzpatrick can take a hit. He's pretty aged well, and he's sort of, you know, he's got a bit, you know, he's a bit bigger, Fitzpatrick. But yeah, that's Tua's gonna have to start darting real quick.
He's 30. So yeah, Tua's gonna have to use his feet. They're gonna have to use a lot of double teams up front to sort of keep, you know, to keep Tua's jersey clean, because one-on-one, I'm not sure on that Dolphins O-line who's going to be able to keep Donald in check.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to have to throw a lot of double teams at him just to keep him away. Like it's got to be the only plan to come with. So it's, yeah, look, I'm all for the Tua time.
Yeah.
And if this was the plan all along, all well and good, I think they could have.
You'd liked him at the draft, in the draft stock too. I remember we were talking about this last year. You know, you're a bit of a fan of his, you know, if you know what I mean. I mean, I like Joe Burrow too, but
I don't watch a lot of college ball, but if Tua didn't get hurt, if he didn't get that dislocated hip, it would have been a genuine competition between who was going to go number one, Joe Burrow or Tua.
They could have both played each other in the final, possibly, you know, depending on how Trevor Lawrence went. So they both would have been up for Heisman. So you're right. That's exactly right. I guess the other game I wanted to touch on, there's probably other ones, but just that, you know, dreadful. You know, the Broncos did well to beat the Pats, 18-12, but it was just, what was that game? Look, for Cam Newton, at least. I don't know what that game was.
You know, and they come back to it of, okay, he didn't get enough time to practice and to do all those things. But you're at home, it's against Denver, and that's pretty much all I've got. That's all I've got to say about that. Like, you're at home, it's against Denver. Like,
he got sacked four times too, so that was
you've got to look better than that. Like,
his O-line was terrible.
He just looked out of sync. Like, it's once again, it comes down if they wanted go on with it and say, yes, it comes down to practice and practice time and stuff like that. Well, you know, because he's had coronavirus. He's been away from the team. He's had limited practice, but he's been the starter, you know, pretty much all year.
Yeah.
I just don't think that that's enough of an excuse for such a poor performance.
No, that's right.
Especially against Denver.
No, well, I mean, on the other side, though, it's good to see Philip Lindsay, you know, with Melvin Ingram out. You know, he got over 100 yards because he was a good running back.
But he was the bright spot.
He was a good running back. He's a very good running back. And they were talking about doing them in tandem. But, I mean, it looks like up until Melvin Ingram was injured, he was the was the starting running back. But, yeah, Philip Lindsay is a good running back. He's a very good running back. He played very well last year. I'm really actually surprised they took. You know, they looked for another running back, really.
I guess they wanted that pass-catching running back as well, but that's, you know, he's more in the Alvin Kamara type mold in Brandon Ingram. He's a good running back, but he's more of a threat as a pass catcher as opposed to, you know, a real sort of heavy thumper. And Philip Lindsay by no means is a real heavy hitter, but he's small and nuggety. He's just a fighter. Like I've got a funny feeling he's from the Colorado area, or he was at Colorado for college or something like that. Like he's a homegrown kid as you can get playing for Denver.
But there was no touchdowns. It was just such a dire game.
We didn't get a touchdown until the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
and that was Cam.
That's right. Sorry,
they missed the 2-point conversion to try and keep themselves in the game.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, or to congratulations to all those people in fantasy land that had Brandon McManus as their kicker. Killed it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think no one would have had him.
Who gets 18 points from a kicker?
No, that's a good point, actually. I don't think I've ever got 18 points from a kicker. Kicker's a hard one to sort of pick every week. That's the one you always sort of chop and change every week because it could go either way.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the quarterback play in that game was pretty ordinary, to say the least.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there was other games I wanted to touch on. Is there any other ones you wanted to look at before we look at studs and duds? I'm sure there's others.
Look, there's a few. Like, I thought the Sunday night game, you know, our Monday sort of morning/afternoon, San Francisco and LA, I thought was a really good performance by San Francisco.
Yeah.
I guess whether you want to call it a bounce back, like they haven't looked terrific. George Kittle was big in this game. You know, Jimmy G looked like the old Jimmy G after being benched the week before.
I was about to say, he just came back on the starting side. So, yeah, exactly.
That's right. You know,
was he injured last week?
Comes back and then gets hurt in the second half. So, you know, that, once again, you know, they're just decimated by injury.
This team is big time. Yep.
So for them to and that's the thing for them to be able to hold the Rams to 16 points and to really do a number on the Goff Cooper Kupp tandem.
Yeah.
Like Cooper Kupp, man, like, you know, he's one of those really good receivers. Mm-hmm. What did he have? He had 3 receptions on 9 targets. Like they really shut. They really shut him down. Robert Woods had 4 receptions on 10 targets.
Big targets, yeah.
So you know, their 2 best wide receivers, they did an absolute number on him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had to rely on, and he wasn't that great anyway, they had to rely on their tight end, Tyler Higbee. He only got 56 yards anyway, so.
No, that's right. Well, that's what I mean. They've got one of the, you know, they've got one of the best 2-hit tight end.
Yeah.
You know, cores going around in Higbee and Gerald Everett. You know, they're both really good pass catchers. So that's sort of a safety net, I guess, for Jared Goff. But, you know, he was pretty poor, like 19 to 38. I just thought it was a really good sort of bounce back game.
Yeah, for Jimmy G. I thought he was pretty good in that. Yeah, he was. He was consistent, at least, anyway.
And that's the thing. The San Francisco sort of laid out the plan of how to sort of stop Aaron Donald as well, because you sort of look at I watched a lot of that game, And you see some of the highlights that NBC had put up there, and a lot of it is double teams on Aaron Donald and, you know, sort of keeping him out of the pocket to keep Jimmy G clean, especially when Mostert went down in the second half. Like, he was getting a lot of runs in that first half. There was a real healthy dose of the run game. And in that second half, they had no choice really but to turn the ball over to Garoppolo and to get the pass game going. And there's the two main guys for San Francisco is George Kittle and Debo Samuel.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? The same thing when they lost Emmanuel Sanders, and they really haven't picked up anybody. I mean, I don't think they had a first or a second round going on last year anyway, if I remember correctly, so on the last draft. But definitely not a first round, at least. I don't remember seeing them in the first round at all. But, look, there's, what, 3-3, so they're still getting it done slightly. And they're out of all the teams, that's the team that's to me been decimated. And they've been decimated the most in injuries.
No, that's right.
You know, they got Bosa out.
They're one of the teams that's been probably hurt the most. Like, you look at the NFC West, it's unbelievable. 3-3, the Rams are 4-2, the Cardinals are 4-2, and Seattle are 5-0, all with a positive points differential. That's unbelievable.
So any of those teams would be number one in the NFC East right now.
Well, they'd be, you know, even San Francisco. Yeah, the NFC East, they'd be number one. They'd be top two in most divisions.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I thought that was a really intriguing game, and just the way that they sort of started off well, just to sort of put put LA under the pump. 21-6 at the half, like, really sort of shot LA in the foot, and they tried to sort of a little bit too much. To sort of bring him back from it. You know, they had a pivotal play in that fourth quarter. It was two minutes to go in the third quarter. You know, they're down by that much. It was a fourth and goal, and the San Francisco defense stopped them, and that essentially rubbed them out of the game. Then, like, they went for it fourth and goal, didn't convert. And that was essentially it. Then it was a bridge too far to climb, and it's kept Sam in the hunt in that division.
Yeah, exactly. I think is Bosa, can they get a few of these people back? I think they can get Bosa back, if I remember correctly. Oh, no, he's gone.
Bosa's ACL. He's done.
Yeah, he's gone. What did you think of the Titans sort of OT win over the Texans?
A game of the week, that game was unbelievable. Like, Tannehill had just a near perfect first half. Like, he was just, it's just not so much. It's amazing to sort of hear and say that, you know, Tannehill has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, going into since he basically unseated Marcus Mariota at Tennessee last year. And he just come in and just basically owned that starter's job there at the Titans and really hasn't looked back. He started to fall away a little bit in the second half.
Yeah.
And Tennessee started to fall away in the second half, you know, they were well on top all the way through that first half. And then, Texans just started to claw their way back into the game. And it just, the Titans fell apart until the fourth quarter.
Deshaun didn't have a bad game either. You know, 335 yards, zero interceptions and four touchdowns. So,
that's the Deshaun Watson that we know. Exactly. Like, that's what he is. It's just unfortunate that He's got to rely on guys like Kenny Stills and Will Fuller now. He doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins there. He's got Darren Fells there at tight end. It's unfortunate. It's just the weapons that he's got to throw to is the problem. And look, a lot of factors sort of went into this game, you know, to make it how it ended up turning out. The questionable call by Houston and Romeo Crennel, who's the interim coach there, to go for two in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's questionable. Like, you can, you know, everybody wants to play the hindsight game and go, oh, well, it was a bad call.
Yeah.
You know, they're up seven. They decide to go for two. They miss the two-point conversion. So they make the two-point conversion. It's a nine-point game. You essentially shut Tennessee out. And that's the reason why he went for it.
Yeah.
They don't make it. And then Tennessee do what Tennessee does. And, you know, basically two minute drill. And they were very, very smart and very fortunate earlier in the game when they were trying to chase it. In Mike Vrabel, the coach, took an intentional 12 men, you know, too many men on the field penalty. I think it was a second and one. I think there was about three. I think it was about 3 minutes 50 to go in the game.
Yeah.
He takes it. It's an intentional 12 men on the field penalty.
So they
don't run the clock down.
Yeah.
It's an instant first down, but their defense holds up.
Yeah.
And Houston don't get a score.
Yeah.
So, you know, Vrabel is on the you know, on the sidelines, you know, waving his arms and yelling at people as if it's all confusing, trying to sort of, I guess, sell it to the refs that, hey, oh, I didn't mean to put that extra man on the field, but yeah, he totally meant that.
I agree. I just thought, you know, going for that 2 points was extremely...
The two-point conversion, look, I understand the analytics behind it.
Well, not really.
It's a fact of that this year, and they brought it up during the broadcast as well, this year, 51.6% of two-point conversions are being converted. So if you put it that way, then, yeah, okay, it's a 50-50 shot in making... You know, in getting the two-point conversion, you're trusting your offense more than what you do. You trust the defense. Clearly, you're trusting your offense more than what you do your defense, because look what the defense give up.
Yeah, I get your point. But, you know, when you're in a close game like that was, and you potentially could have I don't know. I just honestly, I don't think it made sense, to be completely honest.
I understand it, but like I said, everyone wants to play the hindsight game. You kick the field goal, you make it 8 points.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then you force, it puts a different mindset in the team that's chasing the 8 points, that they know they have to go down the field, score, and get a two-point conversion. It just puts a different kind of pressure on, you know, on the offensive coordinator and on the offensive team when it comes to having to chase 8 points as opposed to seven.
I mean, I know we said Aaron Donald's a scary human being, but goddamn, Derrick Henry is just, he did this fend, I think, I can't remember who it was against, I think it was Johnson, like someone, I think it was Eric Murray or someone like that, but he's run the ball, you know, it's just a simple toss out, like a simple just sort of flick out to the sort of side, and he's put the biggest... Well, they call it stiff arm in this game, but a fend. And my God, he just manhandled. He manhandled him. He got him off the ground. He got 212 yards and two touchdowns. He had that beautiful 94-yard run, which was, you know, great. But oh my God, the thing I like about him, I don't know. I just he doesn't look fast. But he is extremely fast.
That 94-yard touchdown that he had at the start of the fourth, he's outrunning the safeties and the linebackers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's unbelievable.
He doesn't look fast because I think it's because he's so big. He just doesn't look fast. But clearly he's, you know, it's... I mean, that's a good weapon to have in that team.
He's unreal to watch the power of him.
Yeah,
he's a freak of nature, and it's just who in the hell would want to get in front of him to try and tackle him, especially if he makes it to the backfield.
Also in their receiving, I had no idea who Anthony Firkser was up until this game. Their tight end, Oh my god. You know, eight out of nine and 113 yards. He's pretty good.
Oh, I was almost going to pose that question to you. Who in the blue hell is Anthony?
I have no idea who he was. He's a Harvard. I looked it up. He was a Harvard grad. If that helps.
Him and Fitzmagic can share some very intellectual conversations.
Did you have any other games before we move on to studs and duds of the week?
Look, I thought Kansas City, you know, on a rainy night in Buffalo were pretty good.
Yeah.
Against Buffalo, that, you know, I guess it was just one of those games that Josh Allen tended to have not recently, but you know, he's played really well this year, but it was just one of those games where Josh Allen just looked a little bit off, you know. Only 122 passing yards, which is just
that's
a bit of a stinker.
I felt that was one of the, you know, talk about reality checks. I can't remember who said it before, but that was a little bit of a reality check.
Oh, that's a reality check.
Josh Allen.
Cleveland got a reality check for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
Sorry.
Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool has been unbelievable the last couple of weeks.
Oh, my God. And I mean, I'm happy because I don't know why everyone left him. He was – I've drafted him in every league I'm in. Well, every sleeper league I'm in. Like, he was one of those rookies that sort of everyone just sort of left, and I just thought – you know, have Juju, but they really don't, you know, you really don't have any other wide receiver there, really. That's what I sort of thought, and it seems to be paying dividends.
No, that's right. And, yeah, he's definitely become a second wheel in that wide receiver category there, you know, behind, yeah, obviously Juju Smith-Schuster's the main guy, but it's the big plays. He's Pittsburgh's Mike Evans. Like, he's going to give you those big plays. Big Ben has still got a strong arm on him.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. What we haven't really talked about the Steelers. They're five, you know, they're technically, well, they had to have that bye, but, you know, they're 5-0. They've got Big Ben back. He was out a lot last year. He was out all of last year.
Pretty much the whole last year. They went 8-8 last year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Devlin Hodges at quarterback.
Because they have a brilliant defense. You know, they have a great defensive team. Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt.
That's right. But a cruel blow, I guess, in this game is Devin Bush. Tore his ACL. So he's done for the season. So
yeah.
I think that will hurt Pittsburgh a little bit. But
well, they got the Titans this week. Yeah. So that'll be a really good game.
I had a few sort of kooky little stats for this week. You know, one of them was Cleveland hasn't won in Pittsburgh since 2003. So 17 years. So 17 times. They're a divisional opponent. So they would go to Pittsburgh every single year. And they haven't won there since 2003. So they go there at least once a year. So a little bit of a telling stat on how well Pittsburgh has done and how poorly Cleveland has done over the past 17 years.
I mean, but you know, at the moment they're playing, you know, they did lose that game, but they're 4-2, so they're not doing it.
No, that's right. Like you said, you know, we're just saying that might have been a bit of a reality check for Cleveland. You know, they've lost Nick Chubb. They've still got
Austin Hooper too now as well.
No, they've lost Austin Hooper, but they've still got David Njoku there as well. He just
Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt still
absolutely need to go back to the recipe that's brought them success throughout the start of the year, and that's hit the running game.
Yeah, I think so.
I get it. There's no Nick Chubb there now, but they've got to go out there and find something, because Mayfield threw two interceptions. It should have been three. It absolutely should have been three. He ended up getting benched. He gets benched for Case Keenum. They're trying to protect him. I understand that. His ribs.
I think so.
And even this week, he's saying that his ribs still aren't 100%. But if your offensive line is sort of failing you a little bit and you're getting hit, then don't put him out there in harm's way. if you're Kevin Stefanski. Just don't do it. Just start Case Keenum.
I would. I mean, he didn't have a great game there.
Start Case Keenum and you hit your run game. Like, it just
it doesn't make any sense
to me. Like, I understand that they're well in the divisional race, but that's a tough division as well with Baltimore and Pittsburgh there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's you've got to try and eke out wins and get Mayfield healthy, or you've simply got to go to your run game, which was a real sort of key and feature in those four wins that they've had this year. Because going to Mayfield in trying to pass your way, you know, out of situations and stuff, it's not happening.
Jesus, can you hear that, Ryan? It's just bucketing down here.
I can't hear.
Lucky
you.
Yeah, lucky. Just cooled it down 1,000 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
We'll move on to our studs and duds of the week. I mean, the stud of the week we just mentioned him not long ago, but I couldn't think of anybody else but Derrick Henry for me. He was it's possible he's starting to slowly put himself in an MVP race. Why not? They haven't lost.
Quite possibly.
He just, you know, he is the one, you know, and Tannehill, you're right. I shouldn't discredit Tannehill too much because you're exactly right. As soon as he took over from Mariota, he's taken that team to where they are. But Derrick Henry's a huge part of that as well.
No, that's right. He's a huge part of it because there's a lot of play action that Tennessee play. You know, there's a lot of fake handoffs for Derrick Henry because everybody's worried about what Derrick Henry's going to do in the run game. So they do a lot of play action, and that sort of frees up. A Tennessee wide receiving core that has been sort of, you know, up and down a little bit this year. You know, they haven't got the best guys there, but they've got guys that are super serviceable, and Tannehill is just in that rich vein of form at the moment where he's finding everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, AJ Brown's just got back from injury in this game. Humphreys just got back from COVID, so Adam Humphreys, and we had no idea who Buddy Fersker is. So you're right, but you know, like you just said, reliable enough to get to get enough yards and to get the touchdowns. So you're right.
It always comes down to protection as well. So as long as they still have that threat of Derrick Henry in the backfield, play action pass, get your receivers open. Tannehill's finding him. It's the perfect storm.
Yeah, that's nice little segue. The perfect storm. That's exactly what's happening right now. Was that your start as well, or did you have someone else?
My start of the week was Tampa's defense.
Yeah, that's good.
Like they made Aaron Rodgers look mortal.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Mortal.
Like even at Aaron Rodgers' age, I totally did not steal that. Adjective of anybody else. That's just the first thing I thought of is they made him look mortal because he is a very extraordinary type of quarterback, even at the age that he's at.
He's Thanos.
No, he's close too.
Who is supposed to be immortal. That's definitely fair.
Like I said, you know, they went down 10-0 early, and you know, the like we said, they blitzed Aaron Rodgers 17 times, which is the most that Tampa's done, you know, especially under Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. They had 5 sacks against him, a pick 6, another interception, a forced fumble. They hit Rodgers 13 times. Like that's not terrific. And the other one that was sort of, I guess, the linchpin on that team as well, you know, especially defensively, was Ndamukong Suh. And him and Aaron Rodgers have got a little bit of history going back to Sue's days at Detroit, where there was allegedly a deliberate stomp on Aaron Rodgers' ankle. I think it goes back to 2014 or 2015, where, he looked like he deliberately stomped on Aaron Rodgers' ankle, which was already hurting. I think it might have been... You know, I think it was in the last game of the season, so it was the division was on the line. So, Sue's sort of got that little bit of dirtiness in his game. You know, he's a bit of a mercenary at the moment. He just takes the $13 or $14 million and just goes to whoever's going to pay him.
Yeah.
They've got a little bit of history there.
But he's good too. He's not a terrible player.
Oh no, absolutely. He's still got the goods. Like absolutely, yeah, he does. He's still got the goods.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's who I thought was the start of the week this week.
My dad is it's just the entire New York Jets generation, the organization. I cannot. I mean, Donald.
How are they going to win football games?
I don't know. I have no idea what they're. I mean, you know, people would say tank, and you know, blah 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 blah. But you already have a competent, you know, quarterback. You know, he was good last year, Sam Darnold. Yeah, they didn't play well, but he was good. They, you know, he had that. And this is the thing with this team. I cannot for the life of me could not recognize why they let go Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson is killing it at the Carolina Panthers. He's the sixth at the moment. He's sitting WR6, I think, on the wide receivers this year. That was a terrible move. Donald and him had some great chemistry. Right.
Exactly.
I don't as good as this generation.
Was that Dallas Cowboys? Sorry to bring up the Dallas Cowboys, but it was Cowboys game where they shocked the Cowboys. And yeah. I think Anderson had I think what it was one of the longest touchdowns of the year. I think it was like a 92-yard touchdown.
It was a beautiful throw. He was under pressure. DeMarcus Lawrence was coming for Sam Darnold, and he just hit him right on the chest. And Robbie Anderson, you know, looks like a stick bean, and I had no idea he was quick. But my God,
he's a bit of a beanpole.
But yeah, they just I don't know if they're intensely tanking or they're just that terrible.
They are now.
Well, I mean, clearly. I mean,
they're getting rid of everybody who's not nailed down. They're getting rid of linebackers. They got rid of, you know, Jamal Adams. The Le'Veon Bell's been cut. Like, it's a fire sale there at the Jets. Hey, come and get whoever you want.
But okay. So if that's the case, and I it's hard to sort of finish on, but look, it's all odds-on favorite that Trevor Lawrence will be number one pick. I keep reading little things that
what happens if he decides to forego the draft and stay in college for another year? He doesn't want to go to the Jets.
Or he pulls the Eli Manning, what Eli Manning did.
I don't
want to play at San Diego.
I do not want to play in the New York Jets, and he is 100% well within his rights to do that.
What is he? Okay. How did that? Did you watch that? I mean, bits of that draft. Did you go back on YouTube? How does? And this is probably the way the quarterbacks are. Does he have that much power, like probably Trevor Lawrence has, to be able to detect, say where you want to go?
I think Eli Manning, it's more. The name rather than anything else. I think it's the Manning name. Clearly Peyton is the better quarterback.
Oh, clearly.
Eli has got the two biggest scalps, you know, in Super Bowl history. You know, by knocking off the Patriots, not once, but twice. In the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And one of those years the Giants were 9-7 and just scraped into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That 9-7 team was the one that stopped the perfect season for the Patriots,
which is
unheard of. But they had a lot to do with the Giants then was the defense. Wasn't really Eli May. I think it's more the name than anything else. I think he was still a big prospect coming out of college, Eli Manning, but I think at least half of that is the prodigal son. You know, he's come in a couple of years after what Pate did. I think that's got a lot to do with it as well. But if they're a big prospect coming out of college, then they've absolutely got their right to do that.
Okay, so
not so much their right to do that, but if they feel that that's not going to be a very good situation for them, why wouldn't they come out and say it? That quarterbacks could be thinking that. For a lot of teams, Joe Burrow might have been thinking that about Cincinnati. It's like, well, I don't want to go to Cincinnati. They're horrible. But that's the point. That's the point of the draft.
That's what I think. I don't think he'll do what's happened in recent years. I think he'll do what Joe Burrow did, what Baker Mayfield did, they'll want to turn these teams into, you know, Baker Mayfield. I know I'm not completely selling him, but he has turned a team that was, you know, won one or two games in two entire seasons around. So,
That's right. It's the wealth of talent. Brought in recently as well. Don't underestimate, you know, the Odell Beckham Jr. Trade to go there, but
we're going to move on to your dud of the week, but do you think, I mean, he's only 21, so there's no reason why he can't. Do you think he could possibly stay another year at Clemson?
Whether or not these rumors have got any truth to them, but I think that's just the scenario that a lot of, you know, especially college football analysts and NFL analysts are putting out there, that because this is only he's draft eligible after this year, but that doesn't mean that he can't go for a fourth year at Clemson.
Oh no, of course he can. That's what I'm saying. Do you think it's, oh my God, I just looked at his, he put his name up and just the first picture is his girlfriend. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's beside the point. I don't think he will. I think he'll get drafted. And if it ends up being the Jets, I mean, look, you know, we don't know if it's still technically going to be the Jets. Technically, you know, yes, the only team that haven't won a game, and they don't look great. But
look, have a look at how many 1-win teams there are around.
That's right. That's exactly.
The Bengals are 1-4. Houston's 1-5. Jacksonville are 1-5. The Chargers are 1-4. Yeah, Washington is 1-5. The Giants are 1-6. Minnesota is 1-5. I think that's the shocker there is Minnesota being 1-5. And the Falcons are 1-5. So any one of those teams.
Ooh, that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay. So the New York Giants, they're not going to take a quarterback. They think that they've got, they've got Danny Dimes. That David Gettleman is not going to take an L
on
picking him. Washington, I'm not sure. I'd like to see him sort of stick with Haskins. Protection wise, it's a total failure. Atlanta.
Yeah, that
the owner has come out and said that he might not believe in Matt Ryan anymore. So they're a possibility. Minnesota's a possibility.
Both of them, they're very interesting ones purely because of the wide receiving core they have there.
Oh my God. More so, I think, you know, Minnesota would be a little bit more attractive than they're probably about the same. You know, if you could still get a healthy Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley at Atlanta, then yeah, you're looking pretty good. Jacksonville, are they believing in Gardner Minshew? Could they take, Trevor Lawrence? The Chargers aren't going to take. The Chargers aren't going to take a quarterback.
Justin Herbert's
not going to take a quarterback.
No, that's true.
Cincinnati's not going to take a quarterback, and I really wouldn't think that if they're just going to tear the whole thing down at New York, then just get rid of Sam Darnold, just trade him.
Yeah, I think so. That'll be the
point that you know that they are in absolute, like, they're at 95% tank mode at the moment. That'll be the 5% move that puts them to 100% tank mode if they trade Sam Darnold and make Joe Flacco their starter. Like, that will be the absolute.
Can you trade a rookie? I've never seen it happen. I don't remember the last time I've seen a rookie get traded. Oh, no. Who's at Washington now? Your boy that you don't mind. He was at Miami and he's at Washington now. You don't mind him as a player. I'm trying to think of his name.
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. Didn't he get moved, and he's not rookie season, but his rookie contract?
Kyle Allen was at Carolina.
Didn't he get moved in his rookie contract?
I think so. I think this is, yeah. You can still get moved in your rookie contract.
No, I know. I'm just saying it feels unheard of. That's all.
Oh,
I'm
no, you're talking about Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen. That's who I'm thinking of. It's just unheard of is what I'm saying. I'm not saying it can't happen. You're right.
That's the perfect thing of that's the perfect example of wrecking someone in their first year, because they picked Rosen like 10th or 11th or something in that draft, and So you're talking about the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
They had no offensive line. He just got ruined that whole year. And they're just like, oh, well, this experiment's failed. Guess what? Yeah, we're the worst team in the NFL. We're going to pick Kyler Murray, and we're going to ship Josh Rosen off. And now Josh Rosen doesn't have a job because he couldn't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick at Miami. I still think that Josh Rosen has got something to offer on the right team.
You do like him.
Is a prime example of being ruined in your first year. And I just hope that doesn't happen to Tua.
I don't know. I know we're going away from off topic, but I can't see him getting rid of Sam Darnold.
That'll be the test. That's going to be the move that says, hey, everybody, we are in full tank for Trevor mode. Mm-hmm. So, and it'll just be whoever, a team out there that's got a suitor for him. And, whether you look around the league and who you think could benefit from somebody like Sam Darnold, I don't know. I don't think Washington could, because their offensive line is just a dumpster fire. Could somebody like Chicago, if they decide that they want to move on from Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky's still there. He's only a youngish sort of quarterback. Nick Foles has taken the reins there. If Detroit, if Detroit decides to move on from Matt Stafford, as much as I hate to say it, like I have zero faith in Jameis Winston. Like, well, what happens when the Saints move on possibly at the end of this year from Drew Brees?
What could
Sean Payton do with Sam Darnold?
With a decent, good point. Yeah, very good point.
There's a few teams out there that I think could use somebody like Sam Darnold. Even Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater has absolutely earned, his contract there at Carolina. Atlanta.
What do you get for him, buddy? Do you get like a one or a two?
No, well that'll be the thing. You'd be looking at, you'd hope that you would get a first rounder, but yeah, I think it would probably more be along the lines of a second rounder.
I think so. I think people
just look so poor.
Plus, people realize that they're too desperate. So,
not so much that. But I think it's just that he is just his value is dropping by the second that he plays in a green uniform.
Yeah, well, that's right. So that's what I mean. And they'll realize that they're just going in full tank mode. So they go, well, we don't have to give up a first. We're going to get rid of him anyway. That's what I'm sort of getting at.
Even if you look at Jacksonville, if they don't get the number one pick, then they could be looking to maybe have an upgrade at quarterback from Gardner Minshew. So he could go to somebody like this, to somebody like that. Like there's a few landing spots I think that he could go. Phillip Rivers isn't going to be around forever. Could Indianapolis be a landing spot for? For Sam Darnold, they've got a pretty good offensive line. Phillip Rivers is going to throw picks anyway. It doesn't matter what sort of protection he gets. Like it's just his MO over the last 18 months.
Yeah.
Besides pumping out more babies, but he pumps out interceptions like he pumps out babies.
Who did you have for your dud of the week? Just so we'll finish up.
Oh, look, take your pick. The Cleveland Browns.
Take your pick.
The New England Patriots. the New York Jets, the Dallas Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott, take your pick. Like there was a lot of poor performances this week. I if you want to pin it on some one person, it's Ezekiel Elliott, unfortunately. Like really set the tone for the Cowboys. Everybody's head dropped after the first fumble and touchdown by Arizona. Yeah. And then when the second one happened on the next series, you're just like, oh my God, like this. He's vowed not to fumble again for the rest of the season, and that's all well and good, but talk is cheap.
He's a guy that, to me, seems to play with confidence and just does not have that at the moment, because I don't think the entire team has confidence.
It's the team-wise, but it's situational. Like, if he's not being used the way that he's meant to, then of course your confidence is going to be down. When they actually start to use him properly, he's going to be like, oh, I'm not used to this. Because, we haven't been able to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, so. No, that's fair. The fumbles, I mean, it's not great for a running back to get one fumble, let alone two. So, yeah, that's fair. I just there, I mean, I'm glad I have no Cowboys gear on at the moment because, my God, they just, yeah, they just, I don't know what they're thinking in defense. I know, look, everybody has injuries. I mean, I could say injuries aside. Everybody has
the trade deadline's coming up. Like, they've got to be able to try and make some sort of move to shore up that secondary.
Mm-hmm.
They have to.
The trade deadline's
coming up in like a week.
Yeah, they have to. That's the only thing that they're lacking in. You know, Chidobe Awuzie is injured for the year. They're using the rookie Diggs, Stephon Diggs' brother, and they got rid of Byron Jones. So their secondary is terrible. Absolutely terrible. They're garbage. That'll do it for this week for the NFL pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook Final Play Podcast. You can like, you can subscribe on Spotify, bump us up that list. You can subscribe on Podbean, you can subscribe on anything.
SoundCloud.
Yeah. And don't forget our pods if you're into gaming cards or trading cards or anything really cards. Our pods are also on gimco.com.au. Even if you just Google the word Gimco, it seems to come straight away, or Gimco cards. So,
yeah, Gimco cards, Gimco breaks, GIMKO. So yeah, get onto those for all your card needs. The AFL grand finals all over. Even though we don't
follow it, we'll have to. The Richmond Tigers, so they won.
Who would have ever thought that the AFL Grand Final would be anywhere but the MCG? Like, that's, and it's a possibility that a possibility. I don't think it'll happen, but the Boxing Day Test may not be played in Melbourne.
No. I honestly know there's a lot of things traditional wise, and that's probably the biggest one. But they're having less restrictions. They're talking about it now. I think that one's in serious doubt.
Get massive bumper crowds for India when they come
here. You're not going to be able to get it. I mean, look
you're
at
not that. Be able to. The NRL Grand Final is only going to have half capacity.
40,000 sold out. That's all they can have is 40,000.
All they're allowed to have.
They said it's the biggest New South Wales crowd they've had this year because that's all they can have at the moment.
That's all they're allowed to have. So it's post COVID.
That's exactly right. But we both don't follow the AFL that much, but it looks like to me Richmond seems to be a team like Melbourne that just seems to dominate finals and win them.
Especially recently.
Yeah, so,
and even Geelong, you know, Geelong's been in a number of finals.
Yeah.
You know, won some, lost some, even over the past decade.
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, that'll do it. My name's Jason. I'll be completely honest, I have no idea about all about AFL Smith, because I don't.
Yeah, no, pretty much. It's you get little snippets on Fox Sports News and stuff like that. But, Miles, pro NRL Plum.
Pro NRL, NFL, NBA Plum. Because they're the three best sports ever.
That's right.
Oh, my God. All right, have a good week, everyone.
Enjoy week 7 of the NFL, everybody. We're starting to run out of sports, so
if you're in fantasy for NFL, good luck, because there's so many buys going on and it's just harder and harder at the moment. So,
buys and injuries, just brutal.
So good luck.
Good luck.
See ya.
See ya.